The opinions and viewpoints expressed in this recording may not reflect those of its sponsors, Microsoft, its partners, or employees.
Welcome to show number 28, recorded live at Mixo 7, UK. In this show, I'm talking to Michael Stocking, Mark Hennessy Barrett, Alex Young, and Steve Kennett. They gave an excellent presentation about 3D graphics relating to the British Library's Books Online project. It was a truly awe-inspiring presentation, and I urge you to take a look at the YouTube video attached to the blog entry that accompanies this podcast. Over the course of this podcast, I talked to the chaps about their session and about Mix itself. It's day two of Mix 07 UK. I've just sat in on a 3D session where I saw the British Library and books being animated on screen, mightily impressive. I've got the four guys that delivered the presentation. I've got Mark, Stephen, Michael and Alex with me. I'll ask the guys to briefly introduce themselves and we'll start talking about the session they've just had. Michael.
So I'm Michael Stocking, Managing Director of Armadillo.
I'm Mark Hennessy Barrett, one half of Shazam, the chap who did the 3D mesh modelling and animation for the page turning application, and my colleague Alex is the chap who wrote the translator from animation software to XAML.
Hi there, I'm Alex, I'm from Shazam, and you just heard about me.
Hi, I'm Steve Kennett, I work at Armadillo Systems. I did most of the programming for the application, putting it together.
Excellent, thanks for the introduction, guys. Thinking about reading books online, in the past it's been quite a hard subject, and it's been quite a hard thing to break people into. You guys seem to have tackled that from a different angle and made reading books online enjoyable. Was that your marketing aim?
Not entirely. I mean, there's a big difference between what we're doing and the kind of e-books thing that was big, was never big, in fact, a few years ago. The books that we kind of work with are the most valuable and important books in the world, kind of as artifacts. So, the Gutenberg Bibles and Magna Carta and stuff like that. So people go to see them online, but they don't necessarily sit there and wade through them and read them line by line. So what we do is we show and explain, and if people want to read them, they can. But the objects are so amazing in themselves, but that's really the experience. So there's a big difference between what people do with e-books and what we're doing.
So these books, you mentioned in the session, they were pretty expensive books. The security behind them is pretty extensive. What have you done to protect the integrity of these books when you've been scanning them?
So the books are scanned, they're photographed, about digital photography. So you get 120 meg digital files out of each page. And they're in fact scanned at the British Library behind a wire cage with security, all over the place. Because these books are obviously irreplaceable. Some of them are 1,000, 1,200 years old. And are literally priceless. You couldn't attach a price to them. So the scanning is responsibility of the people at the British Library. It's what we do with the scans. It's kind of where we come in.
What's the scale of the job in terms of the number of books, the data storage requirements, the bandwidth, etc., that this particular project's involving?
Pick a number, really. If the British Library does what they want to do, there probably aren't enough hard drives in the world. I don't know. Looking at sort of petabyte-type levels of storage needed for all the books.
Yeah. So the British Library has 150 million items in its collection, and the problem with books as opposed to objects is you can scan an object and it's one scan. If it's a 3D scan, it's a lot of data. But a book of 500 pages is 500 scans of 120 meg each. It's a lot of data.
Massive. What's the application that you're using? What's the architecture behind that?
We basically program the application using .NET 3 WPF technology. So we use C# and XAML, really. To put it together. We've also got a SQL Server database backend, which we use, and we also access that via web services, which are serving up XML for the application.
And what about the security of the data? You've got these 120 meg files. How are you backing them up and protecting them?
Well, one of the aspects that libraries don't want is people getting kind of really high quality images on their computer that they could then print or reproduce. So we do use some image obfuscation on the images that get downloaded to the client, and it's a pretty simple kind of mechanism where we chop a piece out of the header file and then reinsert that when we go to use them in the application. And for us, that keeps the images pretty secure from the kind of casual hacker, really.
And what applications are you guys using to get the books online and such that we can view them in a 3D format?
Well, the modelling and animation is done in a package called Lightwave 3D from a company called NewTek, based in Texas, I believe. It's a very, very interesting process, scrutinising video of these pages turning. And Lightwave just really lent itself well to modelling the specific shapes that, for example, 800-year-old vellum with so much gilding and so many different types of pigmentation on the page. These shapes are unique. They're not something that lend themselves to simulation, so an algorithmic process was out. And also the way these deformations are handled, the way the morphing of the pages is managed in Lightwave, was something that was very sensibly straightforward to port across to the XAML format.
Did you have any problems or pitfalls moving to the Silverlight platform?
The Silverlight platform, yeah, one of the big things that Silverlight can't address is 3D. So one of the big wins for us in doing WPF app was the 3D capabilities. So in turning the pages, you can pick a book up, you can spin it in 3D, the page comes towards you, you can fly in and out of the book. It's like engaging with a real book. Silverlight, you have to give that all up because it's 2D only. So we've retained the UI, we've retained the core functionality, you can turn the pages, but the 3D has had to go.
Excellent. So, we're at Mix07. How's the event been for you guys? Stephen, I know you're about to rush off. Can I just get your URL, a blog or perhaps, email address?
Email address, yeah, or anyone could email me, Steve K, so Steve and the letter K, at armadillosystems.com. So, contact me there.
Excellent. I'll let you go now if you want. So, guys, how's Mix07 been for you?
Fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. There is so much going on here that it's the constant problem. You just can't take everything in, especially being a speaker when you've got other stuff to do as well. You've got your own problems to sort out, so you can never go to all the sessions you want to go to. There was one I missed this morning, which I'm absolutely gutted about. I hope I'll pick up the main points on the blogs this evening. Like I say, it's fascinating stuff. It really is.
It's really exciting. There's so many new and highly refined technologies coming out right now. I mean, just looking at the keynote on the first day, the new encoding tools that are coming out and media management tools that are coming out, as an animator and somebody who works with video a lot, that's really exciting. Just seeing the side-by-side encoding previews, that's 2 months back out of the year that I've been losing previously. So that's fantastic. As Alex said, you can't see everything you want to, and that's always a shame, but it's great that there's so much and so much exciting stuff that there is that feeling.
And I've been interested by the level of involvement that people have got in Silverlight. It's clearly getting big traction now amongst developers. So in terms of Microsoft making a play for that space, I think there's a lot of developers behind the scenes who are clearly cooking up a lot of really exciting stuff. So over the next 6 months, we're going to see some really awesome Silverlight 1.0 and 1.1 things come to light. So that's been really interesting for me.
Good stuff, guys. We'll finish up now if I just take your blog or email addresses, and then we'll wrap up.
Mark@shazam.com. That's S-H-A-X-A-M.
So you can get me from our website, which is armadillosystems, or one word, .com.
Alex@shazam.com. Same spelling, S-H-A-X-A-M.com.
Guys, thanks for your time.
Thanks very much.
Thanks.
Thank you.
The music used in this podcast was provided by Kevin MacLeod. Visit his website at www.incompetech.com. That's INCOMPETECH. This was a Craig Murphy.com production.